Well, I think my favorite verse of Scripture in the Old Testament is Jeremiah 29:11. You know it? I bet a lot of you love that verse like I do. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. And then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I think my favorite verse of Scripture in the New Testament is Philippians 4:6-7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. In everything, by prayer. We would like to focus in the Scripture for the month of January on everything by prayer. Everything by prayer. This morning, prayer that works. Do you enjoy a prayer life that works? I hope you do. Most of us are so familiar with those words that I just shared with you that I fear they may lose their punch. Guard against that and at least act like they're new to you right now. And to help, let me read from the Phillips translation that same passage that I just finished with. Don't worry about anything whatever. Whenever you pray, tell God every detail of your needs in thankful prayer, and the peace of God, which surpasses human understanding, will keep constant guard over your hearts and minds as they rest in Christ Jesus. Wow, I love those. I sure forget them a lot. When I'm going through the events of my life each week, I forget that, but I love those verses. Let's see if I understand this correctly. The stress, the anxiety, the irritations, the struggles, the problems that I have that are built up inside of me will disappear and be replaced with inner peace and all the other qualities that I want so much if I will just talk with God. Yep. You betcha. That's what he said. That anxiety, don't worry about those things, David. Relax and pray because I'll take care of them. I'll give you peace, which the world doesn't even understand. And that peace will surround your heart and mind and guard you and protect you. And if you will just come to me in prayer, if you will just talk to me, your Father in heaven. Prayer is the single most significant thing that will help turn my inner turmoil into peace and my attitude around. Prayer that works is the answer. We all knew that. Yet so much of what I often have read over the years from the classics, those men from other generations that have written and spoken about prayer so often and so beautifully, really, still leave me, when I read them, I don't know about you, they leave me feeling kind of inadequate and guilty. That is, if prayer isn't something that's long and difficult and serious and tough and hard, something you have to stay at for hours and hours pleading, waiting, hurting. You know what? I don't find that in Scripture. Except for one parable. Everything else in the Word tells me it's not that way. Prayer was never meant to be that. So let's turn back to the original model for a moment that Jesus himself gave us as he walked and talked among us. If you brought a Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 6 And let's see together what Jesus actually said about prayer that works. Now, before we close with the prayer that he offered, let me show you what surrounds it and teaches me that prayer like that is something that works. First of all, prayer that works is not hypocritical. It's not hypocritical. Verse 1, beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. So when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets so that they may be honored by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. Verse 5. When you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. Verse 16. Whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do. For they neglect their appearance so that they will be noticed by men when they are fasting. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. See how important that was to Jesus? In fact, he reserved, I believe, some of his strongest statements and comments about hypocrisy in prayer and in my spiritual life, for that matter. I think it is safe to say he absolutely despised what he saw around him so much. Rather than making a cheap show of it, he says in verse 6, but when you pray, guys, when you pray, men, listen, when you pray, go into your inner room, and when you've shut the door, pray to your Father who's in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. Prayer is never something we do to be seen. It loses its whole purpose if it becomes some sort of platform to impress somebody. It is a private act of devotion, not a public demonstration at all. Do you remember the story of Daniel in the Old Testament? I mean, there were so many events in his life. I just love studying him, all he went through. Do you remember the time when a decision was rendered by the king and how Daniel continued to pray? It tells us three times a day. Do you recall where he went to pray? Listen. Now when Daniel knew that the document was signed, he entered his house. Now in his roof chamber he had windows open. And he continued kneeling on his knees three times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God as he had been doing previously. There's a man of prayer. Now, I don't think he ever realized that this was going to be printed in the Holy Scripture and that we were going to be reading about his prayer life. It just was a consistent thing for this man. He loved his Lord and he prayed all the time. And when he got a decision from the king, he went back in his room and he started praying again three times a day, every day, praying again and again as he had been doing previously. It's clear to me that there was no big demonstration in Daniel's life, just a quiet, regular retreat to his room where he met in secret with his Lord. For Daniel, prayer was personal and not one bit hypocritical, because prayer that works is not hypocritical. You will mean from your heart what you're saying to him. You won't be just going through the motions. Now, how does that describe our prayer life? It's a tough question. What would God answer with the tone and words and spirit and heart of your prayer life this last week? Did you really take a few moments and talk, or did it really only occur after the day was over, or perhaps at the meal because it was your turn? Do you remember what you prayed? For the food, of course. You probably rattled it off so quickly. You don't really know what's going on there with that. Daniel retreated when he had an answer from God, went back into his room and prayed in secret, in quiet. just like he had been doing regularly, all the time. How is our prayer life with God? Prayer that works is not going to be hypocritical. Saying something and meaning something else. Second, I want you to see here in verse 7 that prayer that works doesn't use a lot of repetition. That's what he said. Verse 7, and when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. It's clear to me, at least, that Jesus never saw prayer as something we use to beg for and hammer at the throne of God for what we want. No, most of the scriptures on prayer remind me that the Father knows me and knows what I want and what I need, and He knows what I'm even going to pray for before I start in. Therefore, there's no reason to think that connecting with God requires special words, lofty words, words used repeatedly, over and over, all the time. You know, there may be no more part of our Christian life this morning in need of freshness and spontaneity than in our prayer lives before God. Whether it's a prayer offered from this platform on a Sunday morning, or a prayer in a small connect group of friends that you meet with, or a prayer, you know, before the meal, or when you wake up in the morning, or when you even go to sleep at night. Meaningless repetition abounds. And God knows it. It's the same thing, over and over again. Sometimes it's the same words, repeating the same lines to Him. And if you're like me, you can be engaged in a few minutes of prayer even, and your mind wanders while you're praying to all kinds of other subjects and things I got to do. Oh, tomorrow morning, I forgot I've got that appointment. I'm sorry, Father. And we just go around, you just repeat, and go over things, and nothing really changes. According to Jesus, we best eliminate tired, overworked words and phrases. Let's keep it honest and fresh and from my heart. You got that passage. Look at verse 14. Here, prayer that works doesn't harbor anything against another. Ouch. Here's what Jesus said. For if you forgive men for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. Before God will forgive us, we must be certain that our conscience is clear. With so many examples of that in the Word, I remember that you do too, the time when David prayed this, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord does not hear me. He knew that. If I want cleansing, I must be certain things are right between me and you. That together we are as one in Christ. I must be certain of that. Otherwise, prayer doesn't really work, he said. Prayer, of course, includes a lot of different dynamics, doesn't it? It's praise, it's intercession, it's thanksgiving, it's petition, it's meditation, it's confession. In prayer, we focus fully on God Himself alone. And we capture new excitement and commitment to continue to endure whatever it is we're going through. God gives us direction and help when we come to Him in prayer. Prayer was never intended, Jesus said, to make us feel guilty or somehow serve the clergy with a sort of secret code talk. Let us pray. No, that's not what He wants to hear. It is realistic. It is spontaneous. It is down-to-earth communication with a living Lord that results in a relief of anxiety and struggle and serves as a calm assurance that my God is still in control. Father, I love you. I'm here again with my heart full of praise and need. I'm talking to you. I'm going to use the words I know best that come from me. They weren't practiced. It's here to you. That's prayer that works. Now, if you're still in Matthew 6, you notice I went right around the prayer. Because you know this prayer so well. We call it the Lord's Prayer. I would prefer to call it the model prayer, the pattern of prayer. I think John 17 is really the Lord's Prayer. Read that whole prayer. That's his prayer. That's when he got down and Jesus with his Father, he prayed his heart out. This was a model prayer. This is because the students in his class said, we're impressed with the way you pray. Teach us to pray. How do you do that? Well, he said, you do it like this. It was a model. It was a pattern for prayer designed, I think, to give us disciples something to follow. In other words, I believe Jesus was saying, when you pray, remember subjects and thoughts like this. Our Heavenly Father, may your name be honored. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us each day the bread we need for today. And forgive us what we owe to you as we have also forgiven those we owe anything who owe to us. Keep us clear of temptation and all that ugliness and save us from walking in a path of evil. For yours is the kingdom, not this earth, and the power, all power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. That's what he prayed. It was a pattern. I really don't think, personally, that he ever intended that we would just say it every time we go to prayer. It's beautiful. We know it by heart. We sing it. We play it. We're very much acquainted with the Lord's Prayer. But I think he meant, you know what, when you pray, gentlemen, think about some of these subjects. How about starting with how great God is? Who he is, why his name is to be glorified among all, over all other names, why his kingdom is more important than anything on this earth. Honor him, glorify him, praise him. That's what I think Jesus was saying. And then pray something about his will in your life. That it would, of course, be his will in heaven, but how about this week in our lives? Pray that. Pray, ask God to show you his direction for you. And give us, ask for what I need today. That's so beautiful because most of us, that's our whole prayer life, really, is many of us in this room. When we sit down to pray about something, it's because we have a list and we have 9 things we're upset about. Lord, here they are. Now, he doesn't get mad. He doesn't get angry. He knows this so well. He knew we were going to bring those 9 things. He's all right. But how about praying, God, show me, give me, provide me with what I need today. Not way down the line. Yeah, go to him with all those needs. But start with what's going on in my heart today. Give me wisdom. Forgive me, Lord. He said, pray that. Pray forgiveness. I'm sorry. Honest, God. I feel terrible about this in my heart right now. And I want to turn that thing around. I not only want to confess it, which is really agreeing with you that it's ugly, that it's wrong, it was hurtful to somebody got hurt in that process. I confess that that was wrong, Father, but I want to confess, I want to turn, I want to repent, I want to change. I don't want to do that again tomorrow. That's the prayer. Forgiveness. And forgive others. So hard for us to forgive others. Even as He has forgiven me. And give me wisdom in my walk this week, Lord, not to go where I'm going to be tempted. Let me stay away from those wrong places, wrong situations, wrong priorities, wrong relationships. Keep me from going that way of the world and going wrong completely. And keep me from that walk of temptation that often leads me badly. It is not sin to be tempted. We're tempted all day long, all the time. But temptation so often leads to sin. So, Father, keep me from that path. Guard my heart and my life in Christ. I want to give You the glory and the power. Your kingdom come. Now and forever. I think that's prayer that works. Because it's not repetitious and it's not hypocritical. It's from my heart to Him. And He knows it.